It's a pretty dry, pretty long run, about 50 years for the rebels, but Mississippi State, all of them, it's the year of Mississippi. Now, I'm in from Wisconsin, home of the greatest cheese makers of all time, but not so much with duck calling skills. However, boy, is there ever hope for Wisconsin. So I asked the people in Wisconsin, had they ever heard a politician tell them that he loved them? I said, it's a simple statement. When's the last time you heard a politician, Wisconsin, say, I love you. Thank you for electing me and representing you. I love you enough to try my best to help you. And they all scratched their head. They were like, no. Well, we were with the governor of Wisconsin, Miss Kay, and was with he and his wife, Scott Walker, great man. I noticed that when we came up after my speech and we had a little question and answer period, Scott Walker said, I want all you people from Wisconsin to know, I love you. I'm thinking, now we're getting somewhere. Because he probably was out in the audience, he's probably thinking, you know, I never told the state of Wisconsin I loved them, like the old guy with the whiskers said. So I'm just saying, you get in your licks where you can, and we'll see how it ends. Now, I've been writing on the board, rightfully so, and a lot of you are saying, well, so when exactly are you going to get off of this? I'm not getting off of this. You say, you were put here to defend this, to carry this forward. Yeah, and when I give you these texts in a minute, you ought to see why. If you're visiting and you look at the front of this podium, and I'm looking at a little note here written on this part, it says it's not about me. Good word, because this is who it's about. You see an arrow coming down out of heaven, that'd be God becoming flesh. You're documenting, you're counting time by it, 2014 years ago. That's what happened. God become flesh. He died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, and raised from the dead. You say, how many people believe that on planet Earth? I'm not quite sure. You say, how many people have abandoned that on planet Earth? A lot of them. How many people have gone with something else? Something as silly, as hollow, as political correctness. About half of America. You say, half of America have renounced what you wrote on that board. That is correct. I'm guessing a little over half. You're like, we may have trouble winning wars now. We've got a lot of trouble winning wars. We always won. You say, why'd we win? That was intact. You say, we've turned from that. Yep. You say, bad times are coming. Yep. Gonna be tougher to defeat our enemies. Yep. So we did it to ourselves. Yep. Everybody on planet Earth, they either have given their allegiance to God becoming flesh. That's the arrow that's coming down. He died on a cross. He made provision for your sins. And oh, you have them. Because we get over there in the corner and you begin to tell me about your life and how it's gone for you. You came from your mother. You weren't under any law. You were a baby. You didn't know what lying was or stealing. You were not born immoral. You weren't born lying in your crib saying, I'm just an immoral person. God doesn't make immoral babies. I mean, come on. So you were alive apart from law at that time. You say, well, how many laws are there? Just two you need to know about. A law of works. The whole world. The ones who have not embraced God becoming flesh, dying on a cross, buried in a tomb, raised from the dead. The last era, I curved it. He went back into heaven, coming back. We're waiting on the last era. We're talking about the faith. It's rooted in what I just wrote down there. If you, for whatever reason, decide you're going somewhere else to feel good about yourself, some other religion, some other philosophy, I told you over half of us have decided to stand on orthodox liberal opinion, political correctness. This is biblical correctness. You can read it from cover to cover. The predictions, the prophecies about the one who would come. God coming to save his people, providing for their sins. If you're under law of works, it's a code of regulations. And there are some probably at the hearing of my voice that are under a law of works. You say, why? They've never come to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus. That's the gospel. It's the truth. It sets you free from Satan, from sin, from guilt, from law, from the grave. Take it or leave it, you're going to run into serious difficulties when you say, but the government says I can live a life of perversion. It's legal in the United States for me to murder my child. The law of works that you're under says you murder someone, you die. You kill someone, the penalty for you killing someone is you die forever. One murder, you're dead. You say, I just killed a man. What happened? I just killed my baby. What happened? You just died. But the government told me I could do it. But God told you not to. You broke the code. You can't let governments dictate to you what your rights are, what is right and wrong, because they will switch and they will change and they will go with just however the culture sees it. That's what we're going with. They legislate immorality. They will give you a check every month the rest of your life if you will not get married but have a lot of kids and you don't have a job. We will pay you. You would think, what in the world? Well, guess who does not get married, has a lot of kids, and won't work? The ones who get the check. White, black, and every other color. They're just human beings going along on a free ride. Why work if you get money from the government? Like Kellett said a while ago, if you don't work, you don't eat. Don't be lazy. Make it your ambition to live a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your hands so that your daily life will win the respect of outsiders, so that you won't have to be dependent on anyone, including some government. They'll use you and abuse you if you do. So last week we talked about the law of faith. Code of regulations, it dispenses justice. One violation condemns. This is the law of works. Did I say faith? The law of works. Code of regulations, it dispenses justice. You say, one violation condemns. You say, is there any provision for me violating the law that I end up under? You're a little baby. You're not under it yet. You say, why? You don't know what it says. When you get to a certain age, it varies with the individual. I'm guessing teenage years or so. Something dramatic happens. All of a sudden, in your little head, you come to a knowledge of something. You hit a certain age, every last one of you came to a knowledge of something. You knew what good was and what evil was. You knew what right was and what wrong was. Right? You all said, you got old enough and you said, I don't know about this. You talk about just smoke. You say, immoral. Are you kidding? Just feed the flesh. You learned about evil. I did too. And we broke the code. You said, where did I get the capacity, the ability to know the difference between right and wrong? You got that from the one you came from, Adam. Adam and Eve were doing great. It was the woman who said, Adam, you're not going to believe how good this tastes. Really? I thought God said, don't fool with that. She said, but Satan says, our eyes be opened. We'll know the difference between good and evil. Oh, my goodness. That's why, ladies, you scream when the children come forth from your womb. That's part of the penalty you got. Suck it up. Eve brought you that. And that's why, every last one of you, you have this desire to control your husband. It's put in you. Your desire, I'm quoting Bible here, will be to have your husband. You say, what does that mean, have? That means have your foot on his neck. You want to control him. You want to rule this roost. Because of your sin, though, and you talking to Adam into doing wrong, he'll rule over you. Boy, the feminists just cringe. They just, oh, that guy. I hate him. It's God thereafter. He said that in Genesis 3, not me. So women, when you feel yourself wanting to dominate your husband, God put you here. He put it in you to do that. I'm just giving you the facts on the way it's going to be. You say, this thing's not going to work right if I control my household and I rule everything and I'm a woman. It's not going to work right. If you counsel with many as I have, you would say, so you husbands, you need to be the head of your house. America cringes because they're under a hollow and deceptive philosophy called political correctness. It's not politically correct anymore for the man to be the head of the house. Is it? Is it? Biblical correctness, gotta go. Jesus, gotta go. Dang, on a cross? What's that about? They're all counting time by him, but nobody wants to follow him because they don't want to repent. the men or the women. Therefore, the scripture declares, I said everybody out there is under a law of works. You sin, you die. You get old enough to know the difference between right and wrong. Or they're under, this is called the law of faith, and here's the nuts and bolts of it. This is how it's personified. You say, what does the law of faith say? Works, law of works says keep it or die. One violation. Whew, there is no provision. Nope. You say, why? No Jesus. You say, is the whole world under it? Every one of them. The one under the Sharia code over there, the Muslims, you say, are they under that law of works? Yes, sir. You say, what's the only way and the only person they can be, they can come out from under that? Jesus of Galilee, not Muhammad. Jesus of Galilee, he was God. I just got through reading the Quran. I read it. I wanted to know what they said about Jesus. You know what they said? He wasn't God in the flesh. He didn't die for the sins of the... He wasn't raised from the dead. What I wrote on the board, every last one of them will say, no, sir. So they end up without a savior for their sin. I said you kill babies in your womb, ladies. You murdered them. If you cut people's heads off and film it, just because they were some newscast, news media, you just take their head off. You murdered them. You say it's the same sin. It's sin. You say, what do they do when they take over a town? They rob the closest bank, get all the money. They rape the women. They cut your head off if you're from Europe or America. You say, does the Quran say that's what they ought to do? No, the Quran doesn't say that. It says don't murder, don't lie, don't steal. You say, where'd they get that from? They got it from this. That's where Muhammad got it from. Comes to Jesus, they say, and you wonder why we're in the mess we're in. But we've become about as bad as they are. We kill a lot of people, a lot of our own people. 55 million in the mother's womb, but we'll gun down people on the side of the road pretty quick in America. We've lost way more people on the streets of America than we did in Afghanistan and Iraq. What's everybody hollering about how many we lost in Afghanistan and Iraq? They volunteered to serve. That's what happens when you volunteer to serve. It's dangerous. You say, we've killed way more over here than we lost over there. On our own streets. Looks like we got a pretty good killing field in America. We turn from Jesus. Law of faith says, love God and love your neighbor, and there is provision for your sins. The blood that was shed, that's the provision for your sins. It's a law. You say, when I come to Jesus, Phil, all my sins were removed? Yes. None counted against me? Yes. I'm out from under a law of works? Yes. You say, there's no condemnation for me? Nope. I'm holy before God? Yep. Because of this, you're under a different law. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law, in Romans 3:27, it's called the law of faith. James called it the royal law. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul called it the law of the Spirit of life. When you are born again, there's water. When you're born again of water, you die to sin. Baptism, you're buried, the old you. The old you, gone. The new you comes forth out of the water. God gives you a spirit because you did that through your faith. You put faith in the one who could save you from death. Where is the provision for your sins? Jesus and him alone. It's not anybody else on earth. All of your religions across the world, you say, what is their problem? They're all under a system of works. There is no savior for the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Shintoists, and the Muslims. You say, I mean, the only provision who was big enough and great enough and grand enough to pull it off was God himself. Jesus, you say, and they all reject him and they went some other direction. And all you have to do is look at their works. Are you telling me what they're doing worldwide is of God? Our president said it's a religion of peace, Islam. Well, you could have fooled me. That is a religion of peace? There's now no condemnation for anybody in the Middle East or anywhere else who come to Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, the law of faith, set me free from the law of sin and death. You say, when did the law of sin and death come? It came when you got old enough to know right from wrong, good and evil. Be honest. As soon as you got old enough to start being immoral and getting drunk and getting high, you started feeding that flesh. You started telling lies. You started rebelling against mom and dad and disobeying them and your buddies at school. And here we go. Every last one of you. Right? Anybody in here who's never sinned? We all in this thing together. You come to that. The law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. There are legal ramifications of obeying governments instead of God. You say, what's the legal ramifications? You're going to die. And you're going to stay dead forever. Unless you come to Jesus and you get under a different law. What the law of works was powerless to do, I'm reading from Romans chapter 8, 1 through 4. You need to do so yourself. What the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. That's why Muhammad couldn't have done it. You say it had to be God. He was the only one big enough to do it. And so Jesus condemned sin in sinful man. Whew. In order that the righteous requirements of law might be fully met in us, what does the law of works require? Perfection. You say, he was perfect. We're not. His death counts for on our behalf. We become perfect because he was perfect. That's how we kept the law. He removed our sin. He fulfilled the law for us. You're like, his perfection was granted to us. Yeah. His righteousness became ours. Yep. That's why you can't boast about being under a law of faith. You know what? The only thing you can boast about is, Lord, your perfection made me perfect. Yeah. Your holiness made me perfect, made me holy, made me right. That's right. Now watch. And the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. It's just like we're perfect. You say, why? Because we're in Jesus and he was perfect. Because we don't live according to the flesh anymore. We quit getting high and we quit getting drunk and we quit getting laid. You say, what do we do now? We live according to the Spirit. We love. Mike was talking about this morning. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Is that what you see coming out of the world's religions? Are you seeing love come forth from the Sharia law? Are you seeing joy? Are you seeing peace? patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. If you're not seeing it, it's not there. So the world was governed, all of them, from Adam to when the law was written down and given to Moses. You say, were they all violating it before God wrote it down and gave it to Moses? Yes. You say, how did they have it? He wrote it on their heart. You say, if you had never studied the Bible until the time you were about 14, it doesn't make any difference. How'd you know the difference between right and wrong? You never read it in the Bible. You say, I never read a Bible. I turned about 14, and all of a sudden, people were getting in my britches. I wonder how that happened. And I felt guilty about it. Then I caught gonorrhea. So I'm going to the doctor and being treated. I don't know what happened. I never followed God. I never read a Bible. What happened to me? You sinned. You wouldn't have had to read a Bible to sin. You say, do people do that worldwide? Worldwide. All the Russians, that's what they do. You say, do all the Chinese do that? Yep. Do all the Africans do it? Yep. Does everyone in the Middle East do it? Yep. They all sin. Before this faith came, I wrote it on the board so you couldn't miss it. We were held prisoners by the law of works. Look, locked up until faith should be revealed, you will know the truth. I wrote it on the board. It sets you free. You're locked up under a system of works that demands perfection, and you nor anyone else ever even came close. Well, I'm living a little subdivision home, and I think I'm a real good person. There are no good people on planet Earth. Romans chapter 3. None. You mean there's no good people? None. Based on their works. They're all bad. They're all sinners. You have to be perfect in order to be good. You have to be, you come to Jesus. Then you'll be considered good. You miss him? You're never going to be viewed as good. So, well, why was the law of works given? It was put in charge to lead us to Christ. All those years, and people tried to keep the law that was given to them. You say, did they ever keep it? No. The Gentiles looked at the Jews and said, religious? Are you kidding? The law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, we studied last time. You say, are there going to be any more faiths coming? Nope. No more faiths coming? Nope. You say, let's see, there's one body, there's one spirit, there's one, just as you were called, one hope when you were called, there's one Lord. It's Jesus, or you're going to miss it all. It is one faith. I wrote it on the board, the nuts and bolts of it. There is one baptism. You say, well, you don't have to do that, do you? Yeah, you have to do that. You say, wow, there's not but one. Well, I got a little water sprinkle on me when I was, 3 days old. Did that cover it? Did that cover what? You're 3 days old. You're in a crib. You don't know what lying and stealing is. Why is somebody pouring water on your head? You say, well, I don't know. Do you remember it? No. So you didn't have all these vile sins that you were being cleansed of? So what are you talking about? I don't hear. They told me they poured water on my head, but I don't remember it. Well, you turned about 13, 14, 15, and all of a sudden you got to sinning. What about those sins? Were they ever washed away? You know, that's a good question. Well, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Better make sure you get in on the right one. There's one God and Father of all. That's Ephesians chapter 4. You say there's no other way of getting out of here unless you go through him. And look, Philippians 1:27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, and whether I come and see you or hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm, listen, as one man for the faith of the gospel. I wrote it on the board. Now, you turn over to the next book. You say, you're covering every text that says the faith, the faith, That is the faith. Watch. Now we're in Colossians. This says, I am put here, the Apostle Paul. The gospel has come to you all over the world. It's producing fruit since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. Being understood, being strengthened with all power, according to glorious might. You're in the kingdom of light. It's all about the gospel. He says it over and over and over and over. In Philippians, he says, I am partners with you in the gospel. I wrote it on the board. Are y'all partners with me 2,000 years later? Are y'all partners with me? I go all over the country. He said, where were you the other night? Wisconsin. Jesus, where were you up there for? I preach the gospel to them. Do you say, did you build a fire on them? I think so. They all got on their feet after they heard it. All of them, including the governor. You're like, maybe we're getting somewhere. The Apostle Paul, I am in chains defending and confirming the gospel. And all of you share in God's grace. This is free of charge. He talks a little further. Everything I've done, everything that's happened to me, Paul said, has served to advance the gospel. I'm in Philippians. He says, the latter do so love, knowing that I'm put here, Apostle Paul, for the defense of the gospel. I wrote it on the board. Then you get to verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, you folks in CR, I'm looking at you, and I don't know whether to read you or meet you. You're tatted up. I don't care. You say, I'm more interested in what kind of words come forth from your mouth. Is it still filth? You say, yeah. Whatever happens, CR, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the death of God on a cross for your rotten, filthy mouth and your lying, stealing, heathen, immoral, drope, cocaine. It took the blood of God to remove it. And you say, well, I don't know, but filth's still coming out of my mouth, Phil. I'm still working on that. We sit and talk about all my problems all the time. At some point, you're going to have to say, I need to conduct myself in a worthy manner of the death of God for me, his resurrection 3 days later. Because if that's not going to motivate you to get out of that filth, nothing is. You say, you ever been into filth? Yeah, I've been into filth. You say, what turns you around? The death of God for me. His resurrection. It's the only chance I have and you have. At some point, you got to stand up on your feet and say, I don't need to sit in a circle anymore. I need to go forth and conduct myself in a manner worthy of the gospel wherever I am, whenever I'm there. I am a child of God. I'm out to prove it. Whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man. And all of my lesson up to here the last month is about this right here. You will contend as one man for the faith of the gospel. It always comes back to Jesus, what he did on a cross, and 3 days later when he beat the grave itself. You say it always comes back to that. That's never going to change, and that's why the Bible says this is of first importance. Don't be frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Look, you say, well, I've always lived a Christian life, you know, but I never had anybody oppose me. That's why I'm telling you, you may not be conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. You hang around your buddies, if you're not different than they are, or the group you came forth from, you're like, if there's not a marked difference in me, a child of God, and all the rest of them. You say, maybe that's why I don't have any opposition. Everyone will be persecuted who follows Jesus Christ, no doubt about it. So, I read you the text in Colossians. And now we get to 1 Timothy 1, verse 2. You say, Phil, is there a way out of here except through this? Nope. If you haven't embraced this, you say, I'm not getting off planet Earth alive. Nope. You'll be cut off forever. It's a legal issue between you and God, and the only one who had the power to service the judicial system of God was God himself in flesh. You say, and you run afoul of God's legal system. You say, how do I run afoul of it? Just break one of his laws. That's all you have to do. And you say, I am fixing to suffer. Dire circumstances are coming my way. Oh, what are you talking about? It's a legal binding code, you say. He's not going to cut me any slack. No. All you're going to get is Jesus and what he's done for you. That's your way out of this legal predicament. You've dealt with human laws, government laws, state laws, city laws. You say, all this hassle. Trust me. This one is far bigger. You say, I better make sure I've got my life right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what are you talking about? You sure better. Therefore, how much time do I have? 5 minutes. 1 Timothy 1, verse 2. 1 Timothy 1, verse 2. To Timothy, my true son, grace, mercy, and peace from God. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer. Before I cover that, I want to give you something. I'll end with this. I'm back to Colossians. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Now, y'all are 2,000 years from the Roman Empire. When this was written, it's the days of the Roman Empire. You say, Phil, has this political correct type crap, has it been here all along from Rome all the way to here? Yeah. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. I only bring that up. Our country and about 55% of our people have turned from this, and you say, what is political correctness, orthodox liberal opinion? It's hollow. And it's deceptive philosophy, which depends on a bunch of guys sitting around smoking dope. I happened to be one of them back in the day. You're like, they ended up in our universities, and they're now filling their little children, our college kids, that's filling their little head. This is a joke. You know, the peace of mind you get with your sins forgiven, you being resurrected from the dead? Are you kidding? God doing what? God made the heavens and the earth. He didn't do that. I mean, it just happened by chance. That's where it starts. And boy, where it ends up. Killing your fetus lady? It's politically correct. Men having sex with men? Politically correct. Two grown women being married to each other? Politically correct. The government says, why not? The Apostle Paul said it was hollow and deceptive. The dictionary says it's fallacious. It's a fallacious notion. It's an error. You're some kind of liberal business today. Here's the news flash. You're into hollow and deceptive philosophy, and it's going to cost you your soul. It's going to get you. They're mad at me because I say diseases follow immoral conduct. They say, no, they don't. So I checked with my medical doctor friend. Do horrible, debilitating diseases follow immorality, Sampanero, or what? You're a doctor. I'm not. He says, yeah. It's killing us. It's literally killing us. One woman, one man, get married and stay married. They come to a knowledge of the truth. You're counting time by Jesus becoming flesh 2014 years ago. Coincidence? Your calendar is based on him. Coincidence? Is it a coincidence that you caught chlamydia? How'd you get that, honey? Well, you know, I was out there, you know, I wasn't married, you know, I got to sleeping around, and the next thing I know, you're like, God penalized you. That's how you get penalized. Well, he doesn't care if I do that. I mean, my college professor said I'm free to have sex with anything and anybody I want to. It'll cost you. It'll cost you physiologically while you're here. It'll cost your soul in the future. Do y'all believe this? Are there sexually transmitted diseases? You say, Phil, why don't you get off of that? Because it's so rampant and people are buying into it and they're turning from this. I love them enough to try to get them to turn. It's killing them. And I know it's going to get their soul, and so do you. They broke the law. Jesus is their way out. Trying to pawn them, they're mad at me. Go figure. Father, I pray for, I think this is streaming live across the United States of America. I pray for the poor souls who are just dug in their heels and saying, listen, we are going to have sex unbridled and unrestrained, and we're going to kill our children and make you like it, God. Father, I love them enough to pray for them. I think they're worth trying to save on your behalf. So I'm praying for every last one of them. We're looking at our culture, Father, to literally collapse around us. And I don't know whether we're too afraid to challenge them or hate them too much to try to challenge them to do what's right or convict them of their sin. I'm not quite sure, Father. But what I'm praying for the brothers and sisters here is that we all do what the Apostle Paul said in that Colossians 1. We all stand firm in the faith as one man contending for the faith of the gospel. Try to get the good news to them. Love them enough to tell them. Father, please help our country. It's not looking good. And you've had your divine hand upon us for about 227 years, 235, 40 years, whatever it is. You have protected us. You've been with us in our battles and our wars. But Father, I'm just observing how far we have come down and how we've run you out of our schools and I don't know, government, entertainment, business, news, media. We've just really tried to run everything about you off, rid the earth of it where we live. And I'm afraid, Father, the only divine protection we had, we're in danger of losing. Father, please give us time to repent. Everybody here in America, Give us time to repent, Father, before you punish us harshly for our rebellious ways. Nation after nation has fallen before us, Father, and looks like we're next. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Please be with us. Thank you for that we can be your kingdom inside this earthly kingdom, America, and that we march on and live forever, whatever happens. Thank you for that, Father. It gives us a great hope. Thank you for removing our sins and giving us a great hope to live beyond the grave. It's exciting. I pray, Father, if anyone has never understood that until today, they would march right down here right now and get that right with you, and we'll bury that old person in water back here, and we'll raise them up through their faith in your son's death, burial, and resurrection. They will receive your spirit, Father, that imperishable seed which guarantees they will live forever. I pray they come down right now as I end this through Jesus, who made all these things possible. Amen. All right.
Until next time.